When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The New York Mets have acquired Mike Piazza from the Florida Marlins.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Is the number to call. Going till 2 a.m., Peter Schwartz will take you through the overnight. Talking about all things New York sports, as always. Max Scherzer ejected from yesterday's game. BS, Phil Cuzzy. Take a hike, will you? And even worse than Scherzer getting tossed from the game is that he's likely facing a 10-game suspension. And you know how these appeals go. He's not going to win it. But it could be an ugly battle between the MLB and Max Scherzer, where, you know, Scherzer's not going to accept this. Them trying to say that he used a foreign substance when he's getting ejected for using stuff that is deemed legal. So I can't wait to hear the explanation from Rob Manfred, the commission's office tomorrow, and the response from Boris and Scherzer. It is going to be a fun battle. All kidding aside, though, the Mets need Max Scherzer back out there. Also, the Mets with a nice series win against the Dodgers as they go to 5-1 through the first six games of this 10-game West Coast trip. Yankees with a big night for Aaron Judge and Anthony Volpe. Volpe making some tremendous defensive plays. Dude's a gamer. You know, the hits will come. The average will pick up. The hits will come, but Volpe's a gamer. Guy can draw a walk, get on base. He's got a good eye, good in the leadoff spot, obviously steal a base. And the defense last night was terrific for Volpe. 2-for-4, scoring a run as well. He was, Volpe looked, he's just a good ball player. Simple as that. Like I said, the average will get there. But the performance from Volpe yesterday should not be overlooked. Judge was a stud, as we mentioned. And you know, you kind of get accustomed to that. Yankees playing some great defense. And even though the bullpen, you know, wasn't able to hold on to that lead, still able to get it done in a kind of anticlimactic walk-off there. Anticlimactic walk-off with the sack fly, where the Yanks get, you know, a couple of walks. You get the ghost runner or whatever, the added runner there on base, and doesn't even take a hit to win the game. But either way, Yanks get a win. Will be looking for a win of the series today as they take on the Angels at 4. As we say, you get set for the playoffs tonight. Rangers, Devils, Game 2 at The Rock. Knicks will be back in action on Friday for Game 3 at the Garden. It's going to be exciting around here. And, you know, then you got the Rangers at home Saturday night. It's not just the Knicks and Rangers in the playoffs, but when you now start talking about home games coming up, Knicks at the Garden Friday, Rangers at the Garden Saturday, Knicks again at the Garden Sunday, Rangers again on Monday. I mean, you're talking four straight nights with a playoff game at the world's most famous arena. That is what it's all about. Throw the Islanders in there, too, as they return home down 0-2. But, you know, still, a hard-fought game for them. Just, unfortunately, a little bad luck was taking place tonight. And the Islanders found themselves down, or last night, I should say, now at this point, as it's officially Thursday morning, Islanders find themselves in an 0-2 hole. But that place will be rocking come Friday night, UBS. I expect it to be insane there. Gary's calling from Mayapack. Gary, good morning.
What's up, Sal? Hey, if I can add to your nickname, Super Sal, in reference to Super Joe McEwing, one of my favorite Mets.
See, that's exactly why I hate the utility spot, because unlike you, Gary, I hated Joe McEwing.
No way!
Well, I didn't hate him, but I hated that he was overrated by Mets fans. He was an okay player, not even really. He was just a super sub, sure. And he owned Randy Johnson, but I always thought Joe McEwing was overrated. So I don't we're overrated by Mets fans everywhere else. Nobody even heard of Joe McEwing. I hope to have a better career pound for pound than Joe McEwing's personally, but that's just me.
Yeah, well, you do already with that. someone who's played a lot of positions like you've been doing with a lot of shifts.
I appreciate it, Gary. I know you meant it as a compliment, and I appreciate that.
Hey, Fleegs mentioned earlier that will there be someone calling up about signing Matt Harvey? I think I called you last year. I wanted them to sign Matt Harvey. He did not play last year. Okay, we got like 9 starts last year out of Trevor Williams. We got a start out of Budo. We got a start out of Givens. They could have used help last year, and I was calling for him. Just from a nostalgia standpoint, and with Steve Cohen there, I am shocked he has not reached out to Harvey. He had a 1.29 ERA in the World Baseball Classic. I think it was only like 8 innings or so. But still, he pitched well. And if not even as a starter, as a middle reliever, compared to some of these guys that, you know, were pitching, it's almost like, you know, the Dark Knight. There was a line in that movie, you either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. I don't know why this guy is the villain in baseball. You know, I know why, because of that thing with that guy and, you know, him dying, overdosing. But I think the Mets really are missing an opportunity not bringing him in. I can't imagine his thoughts at Citi Field. Happy Harvey days.
Yeah, but the problem is, Gary, look, I'd be all for it. I don't know where Harvey's at mentally at this point in his career. We know where he's at physically. We saw him a little bit in the WBC. You mentioned that. I would be okay with it for nostalgic purposes. I don't think it's the best move. Remember, the Mets have the highest payroll in baseball here. You shouldn't have to rely on signing Matt Harvey off the scrap heap, hoping that you could get something from him when clearly he's, you know, not that good anymore. That's the problem.
Yeah, but you know what? I think you could sign him dirt cheap, probably the league minimum. And again, just
well, of course, because he's not very good. So what are you going to
go out there, Sal? If you knew Matt, you know, Harvey was getting a start.
I see what you're saying. For, sure. Yeah, for nostalgic purposes, absolutely. But I mean, you'd rather go out there for quality purposes, that the team's good, that they're going to win.
Well, I think he could help you more than some of the guys that we're throwing out there. You know, like, I don't know, Budo, we're going to see him again. If
hey, remember, they signed Dylan Bundy. He's still there, right? They got Lucchese who could come up. They're a ways away from having to go to Harvey. As much as I would like to see it, they're a ways away from having to go to Harvey.
Hey, Sal, a little point about hockey. Mm-hmm. The Islanders are going nowhere if they don't get better goaltending. And even tonight, Rontas, he was horrible, too. The goaltending was bad on both ends. And
the Islanders, they're not good enough without Sorokin playing at an extremely high level.
Right. I agree. And with the Rangers, I didn't get a chance to mention it to you last night. I think Gallant keeping them in a hotel, practicing at the Rock, treating this as like a road game when they could have easily commuted back and forth. And, for, you know, should they advance and the Islanders advance, he should do the same thing. I think is ingenious on his part. And the other thing is I want to ask you, Chris Kreider. Mm-hmm. If they win a cup, I think he automatically goes to the rafters. If they don't, do you think his number gets retired?
Boy, that's something I never thought about, Gary. He's got the most playoff goals in franchise history now.
He passed Gilbert. I think he's up there in games, you know, games played.
If they win the cup, now that's it's a big if. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else. I mean, what, eventually Fox will go. Eventually Igor will go. You know, they're not probably going to put, I don't think Panarin and Mika are going to make that cut, right? Yeah, maybe. I mean, you think eventually? Remember what they did? Who do we got right now for 94? It's Messier, Graves, Leach, Richter.
Leach.
Right. Yep. Messier, Graves, Leach, Richter. That's it? Those four?
That's it. Mm-hmm. And
I don't know. What do you think? I mean, that's a tough call.
I think he does, especially if he finishes his career here. And I think he's the all-time goal scorer in regular season for the Rangers.
He could be, or he is. What do you mean?
Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. He's not. He's top five.
Yeah,
he's
I was gonna say. I feel like I would have found out about that or heard about that. And thank you for the call, Gary. Boy, that's an interesting question. You know, Igor eventually, cup or not, he's getting his. Well, I shouldn't say that now. It's early. But assuming he plays like this the rest of his career or close to this, you know, if he does this another 5 to 8 years, whatever, he's going up there. Fox, same thing. I don't know about Panarin, Zibanejad. Kreider. Kreider probably, of those two, because of the playoff goals, you know, lifelong Ranger. Yeah, I don't know, it's a fun question. Greg, let's get the cup first. Greg is calling from Las Vegas. What's up, Greg?
Is this a Swiss Army knife of WFAN?
Yeah, I guess so. Sal, the Swiss Army knife, yeah.
Salvatore locks it down. Hey, real quick, because I was at the game today. And
which game? The Yankee game?
No, the Met game.
Oh, the Met game in L.A. Vegas, oh, yeah, you're in Vegas. I got it.
I was at the Met game.
Okay.
And I don't know the whole story. I mean, I'm just listening to you now, but he was freaking irate. He was right in front of us.
Scherzer, and, are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. So they're saying that he just had rosin on his hands?
Scherzer said he had rosin and sweat. That's it.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. I mean, I don't know. To me, nothing. To Scherzer, nothing. To Phil Cuzzi, something. So I don't know. You know, the way Scherzer explained it, Greg, was they thought there was too much sticky stuff on his glove. They told him he needed a new glove, and they told him to go wash his hands. Max says he then went inside, washed his hands with alcohol to get rid of the clumpy rosin and sweat in front of an MLB official, then got a new glove, then reapplied the rosin and the sweat, and then went out there. And then again, they tested it and deemed it still too sticky.
Hey, do they still rub these balls down with the Mississippi mud like they used to do years ago?
I'm assuming that they do, right? All these balls, before they're put in play, are rubbed down with that mud. They have to be.
Yeah, because the batters are allowed to use pine tar and stuff to get grip on the bat, right?
Right, and pitchers are supposed to be allowed to use rosin.
And Gaylord Perry was put in the Hall of Fame with this jar of Vaseline.
You know what I think of Seattle?
To the mound?
Yeah, yeah, somebody brought that up before.
He pulled a nail file out of his pocket.
Yeah, and threw it behind it, and that's tremendous. It reminds me, every time I hear about that, Greg, it reminds me of the scene from The Naked Gun where Frank Drebin, as the umpire, goes out to the mound and checks the pitcher for stuff. He's, of course, looking for the gun that's going to kill the queen, and he sees, you know, a sandpaper tool and all this different stuff there to scuff the baseball, and he's like, okay, you're good to go.
Yeah, I mean, these guys need to have grip because they're throwing, you know, high velocity.
Have you seen The Naked Gun? Because I didn't get any reaction from that. Have you seen The Naked Gun?
I saw, but it was a long time ago.
Okay, so you don't even recall that, and thank you for the call. We appreciate the kind words. Fleegs, have you seen The Naked Gun? You remember the scene, of course, that I'm talking about. How could you not, right?
I've seen it, but it was a long time ago.
Do you remember the scene or no? Frank Drebin, the umpire, goes to the mound, checking out the Angels pitcher. Because he's looking for a gun, and he checks him for, and he's got everything else on him: nail file, an actual sanding machine, Vaseline. I forget all the other stuff that he's got on him. He's like, "Okay, you're good to go," because he didn't find a gun on him. It's great. Those movies are old now. It's what, 89 or so, maybe even older, maybe 88. And then Naked Gun, 33 1/3, or I don't know. All those movies. I love those movies. I go back and watch them. Anyway. That's what I think of when you talk about Phil Niekro and the nail file, whatever, the falling out of his pocket. Frank Drebin, better than Phil Cuzzi. Jason is calling from Mattawan, New Jersey. What's up, Jason?
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making it. What's up?
Nothing. Just on your earlier call, real quick on the mess. I don't like when people take like the it doesn't matter route. I mean, your point about winning as many series as you can is spot on. Every game obviously matters because if you can stack up, you know, a good amount of series wins, then next thing you know, you're back at 100 W's. So, like, how can you say, even though it's a long season, to say that these games don't matter is ridiculous.
And if they don't matter, then why are you watching and why are you calling about it? Like, it's one or the other.
Exactly. And then just real quick on the Knicks, you know, Tibbs says that Randall wanted to be in at the end of the game, which is great, but how about wanting to be in the game in the first quarter? Like, he's given up dunks, you know, whatever. He's coming back from the tweaked ankle, but he's almost unbearable to watch, even as a diehard Knicks fan, when he plays and acts like this. And, you know, if he wants to be in at the end, that's fine, but, you know, show some heart in the first quarter. After the ball is tipped, like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I can't get on Randall. I mean, to me, I blame more R.J. Barrett in that Game 2 disaster. And look, it was a total team effort. I mean, everybody should be ashamed of themselves. But Randall was so good in Game 1. You mentioned it coming back with the, you know, the ankle injury. Hard for me to pick on Julius Randle here. RJ Barrett gets a ton of blame. Emmanuel Quickley, he gets a ton of blame because he has just looked completely lost and overmatched in the postseason. You know, Brunson wasn't great in game two. Nobody was good in game two, but I don't have a problem. So what is your problem specifically? You didn't think he was giving good effort early on in that game, Randle?
I don't know. It's just his bad is so bad that it almost makes me not even worth the good. It's tough when he's just, you know, lollygagging up on the court. Sometimes he doesn't get back on defense, throwing the ball into the fifth row. It like makes you want to turn the game off almost. It's like borderline embarrassing when he's talking to the refs.
Yeah.
And, you know, he didn't get the tech last game, thank God at least. But I don't know. It's just his good is great, don't get me wrong, but sometimes his bad just it looks so bad that it almost outweighs it to me.
Yeah, I get that. I think for right now, and thank you for the call, Jason, you know, the Knicks don't have any choice. Randle is their second best player. And he's been a huge reason for their success. Matter of fact, I mean, he's one of their best three-point shooters. I can't believe it myself, but even though he was knocking down some of those shots in game two, shooting the ball like a guard. You wish R.J. Barrett had half the shot that Julius Randle does. But I can't get on Randle for that game. Game got out of control early on. And to me, it's about R.J. Barrett and his inability to shoot the basketball well. Now, the Knicks as a whole have an issue shooting the basketball. But Barrett is a guy in particular that has to be. Look, we talked about this earlier. You expect what you're going to get from Jalen Brunson. You kind of know what you're going to get, and you expect that top-tier performance. Even Randle, you have an idea what you're going to be able to get from Julius Randle. They need either R.J. Barrett, Emmanuel Quickley, or Quentin Grimes to be impactful contributors offensively in addition to Brunson and to Randle if they are to win this series. Because the Cavs now are back in it. They needed to go out there and show out, and they did in a big-time way. Had they just won a close game similar to game one, I think Knicks fans still feel confident. And maybe the Cavs still feel like, oof, we were lucky to get that one. But after that dominant performance in game two, Cleveland's got to be feeling themselves. And there's got to be a part of at least Knicks fans, if not the Knicks themselves, that are doubting themselves a little bit after getting run out of the gym. Now they got to come back home and protect home court. Ronnie K is in Edison, New Jersey. What's up, Ronnie K?
Hey, Sal. How you doing, man? Nice to talk to you again.
You too, Ronnie. How are you?
Very good, man. You sound a good spirit tonight, which is great.
Thank you.
Hey, I want to talk about Brandon Nimmo, man. Like, this guy, you know, the Mets drafted him, what, like 2012, 2011? Like, talk about, like, you know, developing a homegrown player, man. This guy's out of his world right now, if you ask me.
Yeah, Nimmo's been terrific.
Yeah, all-star, you know, he keeps playing this way. He's definitely an all-star this year.
Yeah,
definitely.
I thought he'd be an all-star coming into the year. I said that. He just felt like a guy to me that's on a mission. He got the big contract. Now he's going to go out there and earn that contract. I mean, he earned it to get it, but he wanted to live up to it and show the Mets that he was worth the investment. And he's been playing his rear end off defensively dating back to last year. And offensively, he looks in his own, man, squaring everything up and hitting the ball hard everywhere.
And this guy is 100 miles an hour all the time. Like, that's just the way he is, you know. I'm glad the Mets got him. I mean, I don't know who drafted him. Was that Alderson, I guess, back then in 2011?
Yeah, I believe so. The Sandy Alderson regime, where we used to, you know, make fun of it, like where he's drafting a high school kid. When the hell is this guy ever going to be seen here?
Yeah, exactly. There was no. He's from like the foothills of Yosemite or whatever. You know, no high school ball. But I'll tell you what, man, I'm glad the Mets got him and. LFGM, baby, let's go.
Yeah, there you go, Ronnie. Look at Ronnie K's all fired up. I did not think Nimmo was worth the contract that he got. And I was not willing to extend to the way that the Mets were if it were going to impact them as far as spending elsewhere. Well, we've learned that it did not impact them spending elsewhere. They brought everybody back that they needed to bring back. They went out and replaced all the guys that they lost. As a matter of fact, they were going to even go in and get Carlos Correa for over $300 million, if not for the medicals being a mess. And Nimmo, you know, the Mets were projecting They paid Nimmo what he could be as opposed to really what he was. And so far to start this year, they made the right move. I don't even think, and they invested in a good person, a guy who's got a great work ethic, a good attitude, good guy to have on your ball club. I cannot believe how good of a center fielder he's become. I know he's not the most athletic of players. Not the fastest. You know, maybe he's got to play a little deeper to be able to go back on balls. But he makes some tremendous game-saving catches. Nimmo, to me, always looked like an actor who was trying to play baseball. You know, in like the movie 61, for example. I do know the feeling. He reminded me of, what's his name, Barry Pepper, playing Roger Maris out there. He doesn't look very athletic, but he's turned himself into one hell of a center fielder. And as an offensive player, he's an impact offensive player.
Chargers and the New York Giants have exchanged their draft picks.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Eli Manning and Philip Rivers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Back on The Fan, 877-337-6666 is the number to call. Half hour to go. Peter Schwartz will take you through the overnight starting at 2 a.m. Max Scherzer was mad today, getting tossed from the game in the fourth inning. What a crazy scene that was. I went to get up and go heat up some lunch and grab a little water at SNY. I was just sitting at my desk watching the game, and I hear the guys in the cafeteria going, "Sal, Scherzer just got tossed." I was like, "What? What are you talking about?" And I went to, you know, check it out, and I saw all the commotion. Could not believe what was going on. I actually didn't think it was real. Unbelievable. I still don't believe it was real. Phil Cuzzy, I hate you. Can't wait to see what Major League Baseball does here about this and how. You know, I know what Major League Baseball is going to do. They're going to try to suspend Scherzer. Really, what I can't wait to see is how Scherzer responds. Because that is not a guy you want to be messing with. And Major League Baseball knows it. And maybe that's why they have it in for Scherzer. And that's why I love Scherzer. Mets get a big win and win the series from the Dodgers. Now we'll go take on the Giants in San Francisco at that beautiful ballpark. Four games there. And you'll be seeing a lot of familiar faces in Giant uniforms. Wilmer Flores, Michael Conforto, J.D. Davis. And Darren Ruff. The Yankees will look to win another series, their rubber game later on this afternoon, 4 o'clock today, as they take on the Angels. Devils, Rangers, game two at The Rock tonight. Rangers looking to take a commanding 2-0 lead. Chris is calling from Farmingdale. What's up, Chris?
Oh, Sal, it's good to talk to you, man.
You too, Chris. What's on your mind tonight?
You know, this is bogus with this Max Scherzer thing. I mean, it seems like Cuzzy had it in for him. I mean, you can't. Look, I understand. And even still, I don't agree with it, but I understand if you, like, he checked it the first time, and he's like, yeah, I got to check you. I just don't feel right with this stuff. But the thing is, you bring him, he comes back a second time. He did what he was supposed to do. He made sure he dotted his I's, he crossed his T's. He came back, and now because he's out to get him again, it seems something like this personal here. I know I read on some things, some, you know, Facebook and all that and Twitter, people are saying, oh, this might have something to do with, you know, some gambling. Look, yeah, I understand where it comes from. This situation, I don't think, has anything to do with anything with gambling. But I do think it's something personal. And
well, wait, what do you mean it has to do with gambling? You lost me there. What?
Oh, I read some stupid comments like, I don't know if you watch this kid on YouTube. His name is Wardy.
No, I may have heard of him. I don't watch
him. Yeah, he's pretty cool. I like watching him. He's an up-and-coming guy. He's a diehard Mets fan. He has his little podcast on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And almost like every game. And then he would call out some comments that he sees that he needs, you know, that is worthy of announcement. And he was this guy wrote something like, yeah, he needs to be investigated. #DraftKings, #FanDuel. So I was thinking, I'm like, okay, I understand. You know, even I read a comment on Facebook, with the SNY has a page on Facebook, and people were saying, well, you knew this was going to happen with the legalization of gambling. People, you're going to have to suspect some of these things. You don't know if there's someone that's gambling, whatever, because of how accessible it is. But in this case, I don't think it has anything to do with gambling. I just think, you know, Phil Cuzzi maybe had a personal issue with Scherzer, because the way it turned out, it all seems a little fishy. And
well, Cuzzi's had an issue with this. There have been, since the Spider Tech stuff, I believe, three times where a pitcher's gotten ejected for a quote-unquote foreign substance. Phil Cuzzi's been the umpire in all three.
Mm.
What is that? So it's a coincidence? I mean, that's a coincidence? Come on now. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, I know. This is the thing. Like, I hope, I think he's gonna appeal it, but he shouldn't get suspended for this, because you look at the situation, the way it folded out on TV, it looks like he was trying to do the right thing, and it's almost like in court, you know, beyond a reasonable doubt.
Right.
You can't prove that it was something that it was illegal. So if Manfred, and I don't trust Manfred, and I think he stinks. He's the worst.
Agreed.
You know what I mean? So that's why I think they might uphold this. But I think, you know, they need to somehow revise this rule. Because, you know, look how many hitters, even Buck was saying it, look how many hitters are getting hit with pitches all the time. You know, this is getting...
Well, pitchers obviously, and thanks for the call, Chris, pitchers obviously need something to help them grip the baseball. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. They need something to help them grip the baseball. So what does baseball do? They allow them to use rosin. They allow them to use rosin. How is it then a foreign substance that gets him ejected? Scherzer was ejected due to a foreign substance. He said, unless he's lying, and I doubt that he is, he's sworn his children, for goodness sake. Sworn his children's lives. You would never do that if you're lying. Did anybody check if his fingers were crossed? Scherzer said he used rosin and sweat. Not foreign. Paul is calling from Hamden, Connecticut. What's on your mind this morning, Paul?
I don't know, Sal, but I love you, man. Everything you say reminds me of myself. I'm 67 years old, and I've been listening to you. And am I this guy right here? Oh, my God, I love everything you say.
Well, just I like appreciate that. You make. Thank
no,
you.
No, I mean it. I listen to you. I can't wait to listen to you, because you're real. It's like, you know, they break you, whatever. You know, you dish them, and that's the way it should be, you know, and clown's a clown.
Agreed. Real quick, I am real, Paul. You're right. Now, do you watch the SNY show that I do, too?
Well, that's going to go to what I called and talked to the screener about. I haven't had cable in about a month because I moved.
Right.
And here, now, the best game of the Rangers, you know, that I've seen was the other night, and I don't have a cable, which is being turned on tonight. So
how'd you see
the game? I watched the game cast, and I read it on my phone, and I just, you know.
So you read about the game. You saw the game cast, and what's that, like little dots going across the screen?
Yeah. Well, that's okay.
Well, all right, so you're back, though. You got cable now, and you're ready to watch game two tonight.
Yeah, and believe me, I can't wait. But the point I'm making is that I've been a Rangers fan since the 70s, and I was telling the screen. I was actually at the 79 Cup Finals at the Garden, and when they played the Canadians. And like I say, I can tell you one thing, Sal, and I've been watching this team since then. When they don't get to the puck first, and I always said this, that team's not going to win. They're all over the puck. They're all over the puck, and that's the way they were the other night. And I'm telling you, this team's going to the cup, you know, and
well,
just like you said.
I know you believe it, because you wouldn't have got cable without it.
Well, yeah.
I know you got that cable, Paul, because you believe a Stanley Cup run is coming.
Yeah, and real quick, and you know what? I don't want to watch that in the bar. I want to watch it on my 51-inch TV that I'm looking at right now that's going to be connected in about 3 hours.
Did you just buy a new TV? How'd that work?
No, I've had it, and it was in storage, and I just moved back to where I was supposed to be.
Okay.
And now the cables are getting put, yes.
All right, so it's probably a long story in there.
Yeah,
do you want to get into that, or you want to get into what happened or no? Because I am curious. I'm just curious how one goes without cable for an extended period and now is back all of a sudden to having cable turn on.
Okay, you want to hear? Okay, I'll tell you why.
I mean, the quick version of it, if you can.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the general that I moved in with, okay, hasn't had cable in 5 years. He's perfectly capable of watching 5 channels. I have not been able to do it in my whole life. So I had to respect the fact that he took me in and I was able to watch, you know, TV with him. Well, now I finally talked him into getting cable, and now he's paying actually half, I'm paying half, and now we got cable in the house, and it's being turned on tomorrow.
All right, well, there you go. Well, congratulations, Paul. I appreciate that. And thank you for that story. We appreciate that. Thank you for sharing that with us. You guys could split the bill, and now you get to watch a little Rangers. Better late than never, and better now that you get to watch. And I hope you're not jinxing this team now. If they lose tonight, Paul, I may have to ask you to cut the cord again. And while you have cable, of course, whether it's for the Rangers or not, while you have cable, make sure to tune into Baseball Night New York every night on SNY, 6 p.m., hosted by yours truly. The reason why I asked him, Fleegs, if he watches SNY, because he was saying he loves me because I'm real, right? Well, I saw a tweet, and which I respect. And by the way, I am real. It's like, I'm not talented, I'm not good, I'm just real. It's the only thing I am is real. And I saw a tweet from somebody that said to Jerry Blevins, you are the realest bleeper on baseball night in New York. And I'll be honest with you, while I love Jerry and while I think he is terrific at what he does, I took offense to that. How can he be realer than me?
Listen, I'll say this from knowing two of the four people on that show. Like, I've never talked to Jerry. I've talked to Andy a couple of times. Don't know him well. You and JJ are both just what you see is exactly what you get.
Well, right. I was thinking of JJ, too. I mean, I was a little more selfish. So I was thinking myself first. But, I mean, come on. You got two of the realest M bleepers on the show. And Jerry could be in there too, but like
two of the realest people that you guys are the non, like Jerry's an athlete. For non-athletes, you two are as real as it gets for what people present themselves as media.
Right. Are we separating the athlete from the you know, the host in the spot or panelist in this spot? Like, I mean, look, you're allowed to love Jerry and not like me. I get it. But as far as real goes, it's like the one thing that I do. I'm real. And specifically to say it to somebody on the show that I host, I found that offensive. I host the show.
And maybe he was just trying to say, oh, Jerry, of the athletes, of the guests you have, just right. Already knowing, like, Sal, you know I think you're real. Like, I'm saying it to you because I know you're going to say, like, you're in your own category. This shouldn't even
right.
affect you.
I hope so. I hope that that's what they meant when they tweeted that. But I don't think so. I think they don't like me. But hey, look, Jerry is real. Let's not take it away from Jerry. But I was just like, come on, say something like, dude, you're great. Why do you have to say you're the realest bleeper on that show? It puts down the others, including me. I don't want to be put down. I want to be built up. Can you tell I'm insecure?
We have a mic and you have a phone. Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Back on the Fan, going to 2 a.m. Peter Schwartz will take you through the overnight. Let's see if we get as many as calls as possible here. Mike is calling from Merrick. What's up, Mike?
Yo, Salve.
Mike.
I'm going to be pepping the Ranger fans for tomorrow. We're going to win in two. Igor.
Yeah, the Rangers are going to win. Well, I don't know. I don't want to predict game two. I want to wait and see. I'll say this. If the Rangers win game two, I think they're going to sweep. But I don't know what's going to happen tonight.
No, I want to tell you, in front of all the Rangers fans, and I hope they are listening to me, Rangers would take the Devils in four And if we beat New Jersey, we're going to beat Carolina.
Well, the Islanders might have something to say about that, Mike, and thank you for the call. I respect and love your optimism. But the Islanders aren't done yet. Let's not put a fork in the Islanders yet. Had some bad luck last night, whether it's a missed call, whether it's the own goal. Some bad luck in game two. They could get back in this series, though. As for the Devils and Rangers, I do think the look, Devils have to win this game. Simple as that. This is a must-win. It is an absolute must-win. And if the Rangers win this game, I do not think we are seeing another game in Jersey this year. Hector is calling from Washington Heights. What's up, Hector? Hector? Did he fall asleep on us? Let me put him on hold. I don't know what's up with Hector. Dino is calling from Maryland. What's up, Dino?
Sal, how you doing?
How are you, Dino?
I'm awesome. Two things. One, 100% on what you said about Scherzer, agree. And also, 2 out of 3, it doesn't matter if it's April, May, June, July. It felt great for the Mets to go to L.A., beat the Dodgers, beat Noah Syndergaard. I'm looking forward to for the next 4 games with the Giants. And then number two, Kreider on the Storm. Keep shooting the puck. Good things happen for him.
Shoot the puck. Thank you, Dino. Shoot the puck. Kreider in front of the net, dude. He's been a beast. Rangers, everything was working for him in game one. You have to expect that the Devils will give everything they've got in game two. We'll see if it's good enough. I'm not sure it is. I'm not sure even if the Devils play their A game that it's good enough to beat the Rangers. Not with the Rangers playing their A game. If both teams played their top level, their top performance, Rangers is still better. I know the Devils had the 2 seed. I know they were, you know, better in the regular season. Rangers are a better team. You saw a significant difference between the two. Now, is this going to go potentially the way of... Yeah, I just saw that bad call in the Islander game, that bad non-call. That's ridiculous. You get hit in the face with a stick. You can't miss that. That's a bad one. I was on my way over here when that happened. I left SNY to come here, so I heard about it. I did not see it until just now. That's a bad call. I mean, an atrociously bad call. That's unacceptable.
They made sure to see all the calls that led to the 6 hurricane power plays, though, and none for the Islanders. They caught those.
That's ridiculous. That's unacceptable. I'd be livid, too, if I were you, Fleegs, and if I were an Islander fan. That's absurd. Bad luck, but also bad officiating. Now, you hope that it balances out here in Game 3 and Game 4. But that's atrocious. I mean, that's a blatant stick to the face. And to have that disparity is unacceptable. Anyway, where were we? Oh, even if they both play their A games, I still think the Rangers are just better. They dominated that game from start to finish. Is it going to go the way of the Knicks series where we looked at the Knicks getting that win in Cleveland and thinking, oh, man, they may not lose another game? The realists in us knew that it wasn't going to be easy, but I also didn't see a 30-point blowout necessarily following it up in game two. Are the Rangers going to back it up with a similar performance, or are they going to go the way of the Knicks and struggle a little bit? I think they're going to back it up. They're better. Is Hector there now? Hector is in Washington Heights. What, did you fall asleep on me?
No. My Bluetooth was acting up on me.
Of course it is.
Right. Perfect timing.
Yeah.
But, Sal, I'm going to touch on the Scherzer thing, but I got to. I can't just come on here and just pounce on the Scherzer stuff after this game and after this series, man. Because you know how I went into this series wanting to dominate this West Coast nonsense. And 5-1, we're on our way to that. And now, Sal, anything less than 7-3 is definitely unacceptable.
Correct. At worst, 7-3. By the way, you and I were on this from the beginning. A lot of people saying 5-5, maybe 6-4. I said 7-3. You even said 8-2 at one point. And that may, 8-2 is realistic, but 7-3, no worse than that.
Absolutely. But, to the game, I can't talk about Scherzer without shouting out my guy Nimmo, who, listen, you know I was all for signing him, but then I was upset in spring training with him getting started late and not wanting all this stuff, and I want to save myself. And I was like, if you get off to a slow start, we're going to pounce on you. And he's done exactly the opposite. And how many times you get a guy get a contract like that and come out on fire the way he has and live up to it so far? Now, obviously, it's a long contract. It's a long season. He's going to have slumps and all that. But props to Nimmo, like you said, on his way to an all-star season for sure. Also, my guy Alvarez, Sal, did a great job catching today. That cannot go unnoticed. He needs to get more chances. He called the heck of a game. He was putting signs down at first before Max got ejected and the pitch count wasn't working or whatever the heck it was. And Max told him, put the signs down. And it was, at first he put two or three signs, and then it was one sign and go. And I loved every minute of that. So shout out to him. And Yacobonis. Yacobonis, heck of a job,
coming in there, you know what I'm saying, and doing what he did. So I couldn't go this whole show listening to all the shirts and stuff, and we're not going to give those guys props. Not you, but, you know, all the callers and stuff.
No, I know. Well, you're right. I mean, you nailed it, and thank you for the call, Hector. We appreciate you checking in, as always. It was a great team win. A great team win. The Mets bullpen with guys we haven't heard of or the no-name guys in that bullpen getting the job done. Their bullpen has been terrific this year. At some point, it'll catch up to them. They cannot have the starters not give them length. It's just not sustainable. There's no way, especially without Edwin Diaz in that bullpen. Maybe a different story if they had Diaz along with Robertson, Ottavino, Drew Smith, Brooks Raley, and even Ottavino, I don't trust. Ottavino is going to be a guy this year that is going to blow some games in a big spot. You've already seen it with him in Milwaukee. I wouldn't want him to face a lefty. He was so good last year. He was bound for a disappointing season this year. And maybe it won't be a terrible season, but it's not going to be as good as it was a year ago. Anyway, the bullpen has been great. But they need length out of the starters. And I'm not sure they're going to get that now because everybody's hurt. I mean, Carrasco was useless anyway to start this year. But no Verlander, no Quintana, and now potentially Max Scherzer being out for 10 games and missing two starts. Who the hell is going to pitch? It's going to be all the guys that they were supposed to be depth pieces in the minors behind Kodai Senga. Right? Senga, Tylor McGill, David Peterson, Lucchesi, Buto. By the way, we should mention Johnny Brito with a nice bounce-back start, where people are freaking out because he got tattooed last time out. Brito's going to be fine. I like him a lot. And I thought it was an important bounce-back effort from him last night. Dennis is in Yonkers. Dennis?
Sal, how are you?
Good, Dennis. We got about a minute left.
I didn't know you were. I can't follow your. We'll do the NFL draft next week. Are you on next week?
Yes, and I'll be on, I believe, an open night on Wednesday, the night before. So please call and let's discuss the draft that night.
So your Mets are coming in to play my Giants.
Yep.
Four Giants are top in metrics in every category out of 18 except defense and pen, and it's ruined their season. But I've got a quick trade for you. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't do this very often, but this makes sense to me because my season's blown up. DeSclafani and Duval for Beatty and Hamill. How about that? You need help in the rotation. Duval is, as you know, about as electric an arm as there is at the back of the pen. He needs to polish up his game. And I'll take Beatty and Hamill.
I don't think, Dennis, the Mets are trading Beatty right now for anybody. And thank you for the call. And I don't know enough about the other players involved, but I don't think that Beatty is going anywhere. He's a legit bat. And sorry, Dennis, to cut you short there. We missed Danny and Lou. You guys got to get back to us. I mean, that was it. We ran out of time. I'll be back tomorrow, though, following the Nets game. Nets game 3 tomorrow. So we'll be on after that one. You get back to us. Peter Schwartz is coming up next. Thanks to Fleegs, as always. Thanks to Connor Green, who was on before Fleegs. Thanks to Alex Arzon helping us out. Is that how you say it? Arzon? Yeah, he doesn't. Arzon, okay. Whatever. I'm out of here. Enjoy the rest of the night. We'll see you tomorrow. Peter Schwartz coming up next.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.